Bala means strength, and Ram means happiness. Lord Balaram is always absorbed in great happiness. That is his extraordinary strength. Because Lord Balaram was always absorbed
in serving Krishna.
Always absorbed in serving Krishna. And therefore, being the servant of Krishna, he experiences the greatest pleasure. It is said that Balaram, he serves Krishna as a menial servant. He serves him in his immediate needs. He becomes the seat of the Lord, the bed of the Lord, the plate of the Lord. All whatever utensils Krishna needs, Balaram becomes. Therefore, Balaram also becomes Mardanga. Balaram, Mardanga. Balaram also becomes harmonium. Balaram becomes kartals. Balaram becomes the puja plate. In the Chaitanya Bhagavad, it is stated that Balaram even becomes Vrindavan. So in this way, Balaram, in many ways, is pleasing Krishna. Balaram is the original Sankarsan. And then, to assist Krishna in appearing in the material world, Balaram also becomes Mahavishnu, also becomes Garbhadaksaya Vishnu, also becomes Ksirudaksaya Vishnu, and finally also becomes Ananta Sesh. Ananta Sesh, the thousand-hooded serpent, who is always glorifying the Supreme Lord. It is said that the mouth of Lord Ananta is the jewel case for the glorification of Krishna. So if one wants to glorify Krishna, we pray to Lord Ananta that he may give us the strength to glorify. So Lord Krishna is known as Sevya Bhagavan, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to whom all render service. He is... Bhagavan means Bhajaniya Guna Vishishta, who has such amazing qualities that you have to serve him. He is irresistible. But Balaram, he is servant. He is Sevak, he is servant. But he's also Bhagavan, he's also irresistible. You also have to serve him. So Balaram is Krishna, who shows how to serve. Therefore Balaram is the one who reaches out. He reaches out to the conditioned souls. Balaram is therefore the one who interacts with the conditioned souls. It is Balaram carries the plow, Krishna the flute. It is said because it is Balaram who is plowing the field of the heart. It is Balaram who is removing the impurities by plowing the field. We are preparing the field, we're taking in weeds out of the field, and in this way the field becomes ready to produce. So Balaram is preparing the heart of the living beings. By his example, he's engaging in service and showing how to serve Krishna. Then everyone following in the footsteps of Balaram can also begin to assist him in serving Krishna in the same way. In this way, Balaram is known as Adi Guru, or the original spiritual master. Balaram is, of course, powerful. Bala is strength. is certainly referring to spiritual strength. It is said that we pray to Balaram for spiritual strength. So therefore, the appearance day of Lord Balaram is significant, because we need spiritual strength. It is said that for those who are conditioned, Lord Balaram is the spiritual master. For liberated souls in Madhurya Ras, Radharani is acting as the spiritual master. So for us, it's Nitai Balaram. Lord Balaram is sometimes in the foreground, in past times, but we see that Lord Balaram is giving, is generally giving preference to Krishna. It is said, although Lord Balaram is the elder brother, still Balaram is very careful to give prominence to Krishna in his mood as servant of Krishna. Because Krishna is Adi Purush, he is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. Brahmananda Prabhu is describing that when the deities for in the Krishna Balaram Mandir, when that it was Srila Prabhupada himself who made a sketch of Krishna and Balaram. And it was Prabhupada's idea that the deity should be made in such a way that Balaram was leaning on the shoulder of Krishna. That was Prabhupada's sketch. So then the deities were carved accordingly in Jaipur. And in this way, we have, in Vrindavan, we have our Krishna and Balaram in their Krishna Balaram Mandir. Prabhupada explains in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that he installed Krishna and Balaram in Vrindavan for various reasons. One reason, the area was Ramanreti, which is a place where Krishna and Balaram would every day assemble in the afternoon with their cows, because there was a nice field and the cows would rest in the shade of the trees there in Ramanreti. So therefore it was their place. But Prabhupada said he called the deities Krishna and Balaram and made them the principal deities on the main altar to establish that Krishna and Balaram, who are no different from Gornitai, that one is dependent on their mercy if one wants to enter Vrindavan. So Krishna and Balaram are interchangeable, sometimes seen as Gornitai, sometimes seen as Krishna and Balaram. Mother Sachi also had deities of Krishna and Balaram. She was worshipping her deities of Krishna and Balaram. And one night, while she was dreaming, in her dream, suddenly her son Nimai and also Nichananda came and they start fighting with the deities. So as a big thing, it's like she's totally astounded. How can my son fight with the deities of Krishna and Balaram? And it was a big fight, because Gornitai said, you two, get out of here, you Krishna and Balaram, because this is our yuga. And that offering is ours. Right? That offering is ours. Out. So it was a major fight, especially between Balaram and Nichananda. And in the end, Gornitai won. Of course, it was their age. Later, Later, as happens with dreams, Mother Sachi forgot all about the dream. But then, that very day, Gornitai came for lunch. And suddenly she realized. She remembered the dream, and suddenly she realized they are Krishna and Balaram. Then she fainted. Finished. So indeed, we are seeing Krishna and Balaram as Gornitai, and Gornitai as Krishna and Balaram. Nityananda Balaram. That is how we find the Lord described in the fifth chapter of the Adi Lila. For Srila Prabhupada, the completion of the Krishna Balaram Mandir in Vrindavan was the greatest success of all. Prabhupada had gone to the West, had preached all over the world, had now come back and had successfully completed a temple in Vrindavan. And then, on the appearance day of Lord Balaram, Srila Prabhupada installed Krishna Balaram in 1975. Lord Balaram, Lord Ramachandra, sorry. But he installed Krishna and Balaram in Vrindavan. And that was a moment which was more than an ecstatic moment. Prabhupada had installed deities all over the world, and of course, each time it was Krishna was there, Krishna was manifesting, each time Prabhupada was experiencing. But now, during the installation of Krishna Balaram on Ram Navami in Vrindavan, then Srila Prabhupada was so ecstatic. He personally did the arti. He became so overwhelmed with happiness. It was the ultimate victory. It was the time of success. He had returned from his mission now as a success, and he was worshipping Krishna and Balaram. During that very first arctic, at the end, Srila Prabhupada just was beaming, and at the end he turned around to the crowd and just never finished the arti. He never blew the conch shell, never ended it, he just started preaching. He just, at one point, just turned to the crowd and just started preaching, described the glories of Krishna and Balaram. Srila Prabhupada was just over the moon, one could say. So, these deities, Krishna and Balaram, stand there on the central altar in our movement. Because Prabhupada explained that so many temples are there in the world. He said, and they may close or may not, he said, but never let an inch of Mayapur and Vrindavan deteriorate. There's no question. These temples are the main temples. These are the temples where we turn to. So in this way, Krishna Balaram received that amazing welcome of Srila Prabhupada, that amazing prayer of Srila Prabhupada to shower all those who were under his care with their mercy and blessings of devotional service. Srila Prabhupada, he liked that term, devotional service. And yes, and Prabhupada said how Krishna and Balaram had to be served. He said they are very hungry, they are young boys. They eat a lot and opulent things, yes. And they must be offered kachori, samosas, very tasty preparations, yes. And Prabhupada explained what needed to be cooked and what needed to be offered. Prabhupada explained everything. Prabhupada said there should be kirtan 24 hours in a schedule of different crews so that it could go on. Prabhupada said there should be a bell. And the bell should be rung during the aarti so that all of Vrindavan can hear about the aarti to Krishna and Balaram, and that people can come from far. And still, the bell is ringing at the hour, at the half hour, and during aarti. Yes. And then Prabhupada said, and I will judge the management by the ringing of the bell. And the bell had to be rung by the security guards. Now in India, security guards, you know, chokidar, they sleep always, right? And, you know, so to get a security guard to ring the bell in time is impossible. It's impossible. So, what a brilliant idea. Right? We judge the management by the ringing of the bell. An impossible task. Right? Anyone who can manage that, boy, is on top of things, I can tell you that. I've been in charge of that bell for a while. And then the rope would break. But we would just hit on the bell with a hammer. Somehow or other, the bell was ringing. Rope or no rope. Go by the rope, meanwhile. The bell will ring. The service of Krishna and Balaram must continue. The service to Krishna and Balaram should not stop for some external reason. Why? Why should the Lord be inconvenienced by some external material reason? After all, he's not of this material world. He should just have all the comforts of the spiritual world uninterrupted, because he's not affected by the three modes of material nature. He's not limited like we are, who struggle, No. For him, it must be perfect. Yes. And the devotees took that service. One devotee who had been a French fashion designer, right, had been sent by Krishna to become the pujari. And Prabhupada said, he must dress all the deities. And he did. All of them. Others put the petticoats. Right? But he dressed all the deities. Omkar. Srila Prabhupada's disciple Omkar was gifted. He could dress like no one could. And every day he single-handedly dressed all the deities. Incredibly fast and incredibly amazing. Still today the deities are dressed by those who are trained by him. But I must say one thing about Omkar is you never knew what you were going to get. You know, it was always different. One day, multicolor everywhere and fruits and flowers. The other day, everything silver with only like fiery flowers at the top. Each day it had an identity. Each day Krishna and Balaram were revealed in different poses, in different moods, in different ways. Prabhupada wanted it like that. He was pleased by that service. deity cook was also extraordinary, Vibhu Chaitanya, because he cooked all the offerings for Krishna and Balaram. Everything. All the offerings, including the Mongol Arctic sweets. Now there's a whole army to replace him. Serious. Some said, Prabhupada, he's not chanting his rounds. Prabhupada said, he doesn't have to chant his rounds. He just has to cook. He was chanting his rounds. But, and he never, Krishna, Vibhu Chaitanya, had faith in Prabhupada's words. Prabhupada said, everything is here within the walls of the Krishna Balaram Mandir. Everything is here, he said. And Vibhu Chaitanya, from the day he moved into the temple until the day he left his body, never went outside the walls. Never, ever. Not to go anywhere. Just from his room to the kitchen, from his kitchen, from the kitchen to his room. And for darshan in the temple. That was it. Never went anywhere else. Not once. Never ever. Simply, he showed by his faith, he showed his full faith in that statement of Prabhupada. Everything is here in the walls of the Krishna Balaram Mandir. Yes, those who serve Krishna and Balaram, the deities in that way, they are with Krishna and Balaram. They are actually in the spiritual world. They are already there. Ihayasya Hariyadasya Karmanamasakira Nikala Swabhyavasta Sujivam Mukta Sauchite. It is said that there are liberated souls who, even when they are in this world, they are already in the spiritual world. In the spiritual world. Physically here, but internally, completely there. So, Lord Balaram is accessible to us. Somehow or other, I was a useless pujari, and so I never did that. And cooking, you didn't get a chance because Vibhu Chaitanya wouldn't let you. So I used to sing for Krishna and Balaram. So somehow or other, together with Advaita Charitable, we could sing. Some service we must do. There are actors, there are always actors. On Balaram's appearance day, always there are actors acting out these plays, always kind of little chivalrous, and little fighting. Prabhasura is sort of quite a popular one. Yeah? It's like we've seen different Prabhasuras. We did once a forest Prabhasura pastime, and it's like they made the whole costume out of leaves and branches from the forest. Prabhasura, two big pointed teeth of wood, were wearing lots of leaves and things. Yes. In the Harivamsa, which is a supplement to the Mahabharata written by Vyasadev, there is an additional commentary on the 10th canto pastimes of the Lord. And it is interesting because there, this Prabhasura pastime is also described. And then it describes how Krishna was seeing that Balaram was being carried away by this demon. And yes, the weight of the demon, of Balaram, on the back of the demon, was increasing, and the demon could no longer maintain his disguise and started to take on his original form. Then everyone saw he's being carried away by a demon. In Harivamsa, it is described that Balaram was acting in a bewildered way, as if not knowing what to do. And then Krishna called out very loud and said, "Balaram, Balaram, remember who you are."
And then he remembered who he was.
And he just hit this demon on the head, and actually the skull of the demon split in half right there by that
blow
on the head. So we understand that the reason why was that Balaram forgot his identity was simply to maintain that attitude of dependence on Krishna, so that Krishna could be the one to point, "Yes, Balaram, this is what you do," and establish his superiority. So many stories of Krishna and Balaram. We may remember Jarasandha, who came and harassed Mathura. After Krishna Balaram had left Vrindavan, and after Kansa had been killed. It was a big thing, that wrestling match, remember? They both fought with the wrestlers and hit them on the head, and their eyes popped out of the sockets and were dangling there. And so then Krishna and Balaram stayed in Mathura, but Jarasandha attacked Mathura 17 times and just got too much for the city of Mathura all the time, this huge army, although Krishna and Balaram smashed that army quite nicely. So they decided to leave. And then on the way, they met Parasuram. And Parasuram wanted to do some service. So Parasuram suggested that, he said, "A mountain is a natural fort. So since you're followed by an army, why don't you retreat on a mountain?" So they did so. So then Jarasandha came, and along with him was Shishupal, the king of Chedi. And it was the king of Chedi's idea to pack the bottom of that mountain with wood, lots of wood, and set fire to it. In this way, to roast Krishna and Balaram up there on the mountain. It was an interesting idea. But what actually happened was, it says in Harivamsa, the fire became extremely hot because of all the wood that was packed around the base of the mountain. And the result was that the mountain cracked and water came out, and that created steam. And the steam started to throw off many, many rocks that were flying in all directions and killed many soldiers of Jarasandha's army. And then the water put out the fire. So the story we all know is that Krishna and Balaram at one point jumped off that mountain. The mountain supposedly was 80 kilometers high. It is on the high side. But that's not all there is, all there's to it. Harivamsa describes actually that, well, according to Bhagavatam, because of the fire, Krishna and Balaram jumped. But actually, Harivamsa says, no, it wasn't because of the fire. Because the fire was put out by the water. So that was not actually the reason. The reason why they jumped was as follows. They were up there, and there were many trees with orchards and so on. And some of these orchards, they had trees with big beehives with lots of honey. And Balaram, well, he was drinking that honey, and he was kind of getting more and more intoxicated, until he got to a point where he was so drunk that he said to Balaram, he said to Krishna, he said, "Look, Krishna, look, look what I'm doing." And he just jumped off the mountain. So then Krishna looked at him, okay, he could do that too. So he also jumped off the mountain. So actually they jumped down because Balaram was drunk. And when Balaram landed, he landed first, because he jumped first. He landed right in the middle of the army of Jarasandha. Suddenly, in one hand, his club, in the other hand, his plow. and just like he pulled a whole bunch of soldiers right to the ground and finished them with his plow while he smashed others on the head with the club. So he did good, you know. And then there were a few still standing, and then Krishna landed. And he also took care of a few before the two brothers moved on towards Prabhas Kshetra, the area where they established their city of Dwarka in the ocean. So they did well in this way. So it is, Balaram has a hot temper. Balaram is sometimes getting a little out of control, apparently, the way he dealt with the Yamuna. He was drunk again and told the Yamuna to come. You thought, he's intoxicated, I'm not going near him. Then Balaram said, oh, you are not coming. And he pulled the Yamuna with his plow. And up to the day of today, it says the Yamuna was scratched and there still are many branches, which is the result of that scratching that Balaram did. So Balaram and his honey and his intoxication and his somewhat angry nature then is there. Yesterday I also mentioned that the Kurus once, the story is that Samba was trying to kidnap this daughter of Duryodhana, who actually didn't want to marry him. So they were extremely upset. And then they became very angry. So they captured Samba. So when Balaram heard about that, he said, well, this is outrageous. Who do they think, you know, they can capture one of ours? One of the Yadus. That is outrageous. Meanwhile, the Kurus were getting like particularly upset and making statements like, who do these Yadus think they are anyway? They have sort of proclaimed themselves to be king, and we've allowed them to wear the royal insignia, like walking around with white umbrellas and so on, and crowns, although they have no right to these things. We will now take away these things from them. So when Balaram heard that, he came and he said, and he came to the capital of the Kurus, Indraprastha, and said, So, Krishna has no right. Is it that Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God, has no right to the royal insignia, the royal throne, the white umbrella? Then he got so angry that he just, with his plow, started to pull the whole city of Indraprastha and ready to throw it in the river. So this shows a little bit about Balaram's nature. So Balaram also is the elder brother. And as the elder brother, Krishna was certainly respecting him very much. Some think that Balaram is 15 days older than Krishna, but actually he is 1 year and 15 days older than Krishna. So in this way, that would be more normal also. So in this way, Balaram is clearly the elder brother. And Madhya Soda would also see it like that. The elder brother will protect you. And they grew up like that. Later, when they lived in Dwarka, there was that incident where Arjuna had somehow or other, due to circumstances, Arjuna had broken the agreement that existed between the Pandavas. And that agreement was that when one of the Pandavas would ever be alone with Draupadi, that then the other one would never enter into the room. And the elder brothers would never enter into the room. But due to circumstances, Arjuna broke that promise to protect one Brahmana. He had to take some things from that room, his bow. And anyway, he walked in and out, and then he had to go for 1 year. That was the vow. If you break that vow, you have to go on pilgrimage for 1 year. So he went on pilgrimage for 1 year, and that meant also to be without his wife for 1 year. Yeah. So, okay, he was prepared for a year of celibate and so on. But then during that year, several ladies came, and when Kshatriyas are approached by ladies, then they cannot refuse. So, in that way, when Arjuna came to Dwarka, then Krishna suggested that he would marry Subhadra. And Arjuna saw Subhadra, and Arjuna didn't mind the idea. Krishna knew that Subhadra was interested in Arjuna. So anyway, Krishna arranged it and advised Arjuna to dress up like a sannyasi, grow a beard, and just like dress up in the cloth of a renunciant. So he came there at the court, and Subhadra saw that renunciant, and she saw that behind the beard was a handsome face. She saw that under that saffron cloth there was a handsome muscular form. So somehow or other, she felt some attraction. But at one point, on Krishna's directions, she was kidnapped by Arjuna. Balaram was extremely, extremely upset, and Balaram was ready to teach Arjuna a lesson and all his family, and everyone was getting ready for war except Krishna. So that sort of made Balaram wonder, and then there was a discussion, and Krishna revealed his idea and said, well, actually, you know, Subhadra in the first place was interested in the marriage, and anyway, we are family members, and, you know, actually a good match, and why don't we just bring them back as a couple and just accept them, and, you know, and give them the dowry and all these things. So anyway, that's what they did. So Krishna dealt in a diplomatic way. Although he is the Supreme Lord, externally Krishna was always in the subjugated position, and Balaram in the superior position. That was the rasa. Although in terms of tattva, Krishna is in the superior position. He is the Adi Purusham, the original Supreme Lord. Balaram is expansion. In terms of lila, in the pastime, Balaram is always in the superior position, and Krishna is the younger brother. So in the external etiquette, Krishna is acting like the younger brother. So that is interesting. So in this situation, it was like that. Therefore, Krishna didn't openly disagree, but in a diplomatic way managed to get Balaram to accept. And anyway, then Arjuna was sent off to return to his capital, to Hastinapur, and rejoin with a big dowry and a whole caravan, and again join the Pandavas. And Draupadi, when she saw Arjuna, she didn't look at him, because it is mentioned in Mahabharata that Arjuna was her favorite. So she didn't look at him when he came back. So he said, Draupadi, I'm back. She said, you won't have much time for me, because you'll be too busy with your new wife. And he said, Draupadi, you know, the fact that I have another wife does not in any way diminish my love for you. She says, it always does. I still didn't look at him. So it was bad, you know, it was bad. And then what Arjuna did, he dressed up Subhadra as a cowherd girl. And he sent her like that to the quarters of Draupadi. As soon as Draupadi saw this girl, she just immediately started to think of Vrindavan. And she immediately starts speaking about Vrindavan and about Krishna and Balaram in Vrindavan and all the pastimes in Vrindavan. And she forgot everything. And then this coward girl also started talking so much about Krishna and Balaram. She seemed to know everything about Krishna and Balaram in Vrindavan. And Draupadi became so enlivened, and hours went by, and finally Draupadi said, what is your name? And she said, Subhadra. And by then they were friends. Too late. So just by speaking about Krishna and Balaram, right? Even that natural enmity that exists between two women in a rival position, you know, which is hard to overcome, that disappeared just like that by remembering Krishna and Balaram. So in this way we can appreciate that if we simply dedicate our lives in the service of Krishna and Balaram, we also can rise above. We can rise above the envy that comes about in relationships in this world. In the Shiksamrita, in the Chaitanya Shiksamrita, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is the one who gives the list of the meaning, the symbolic meaning of each of the demons which represent an anarta. And he makes a point, and he says there are demons that are killed by Krishna, and there are demons that are killed by Balaram. Right? And he explains them. He says the demons that are killed by Balaram, right? Well, let's first do the ones by Krishna. He says the demons that are killed by Krishna are representing anartas that Krishna must take away. These are anartas that will go away in the process of devotional service. But the anartas that are represented by the demons killed by Balaram, those we have to overcome ourselves by a conscious endeavor. So Tapas, what were you saying again that Pralambha Sura was representing? The mode of passion.
It's a mode of feet.
Huh?
Yeah, it's my boss are a mode of passion, and then across are a mode of ignorance. It's the mode of ignorance.
Which one's who?
Excuse me. Thank you. Yes. Yeah, so we see that, like, these we have to overcome ourselves. We have to give up the mode of ignorance and the mode of passion. Yes? We cannot just remain there. And because as long as we remain there, we will remain handicapped in our spiritual advancement. We must rise above. Of course, devotional service to Arjas, to Nova, Kamaludhyas, Jayasati, we will become purified from these modes by devotional service. But the emphasis is placed by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur that we must make a conscious endeavor to rise above this contamination. Palambasura representing the mode of passion. Dainakasura representing the mode of ignorance. We must rise above. Mode of ignorance means all the bad habits. We have to kick them out. But, oh, I can't do it. Out. out, out, out. We have to be firm with ourselves in this regard. Mm-hmm. Rob choked like that. Four regulative principles. Somehow or other, oh, so difficult. Can't it be three? No. Four. Four. Three and a half? No. Four. No bargaining. No. Somehow or other. So in this way, we follow in the footsteps of Lord Balaram, serve Krishna in every possible way, with prana artadiya vacha, with our energies, with our possessions, with our intelligence, and with our words. And in that way, we can become eligible to go back to Godhead. In that way, we become connected with the servants of the Lord. Balaram comes, is the original spiritual master, and from him comes the whole tattva of Guru Tattva. Therefore, all spiritual masters are representatives of Lord Balaram. So serving Lord Balaram also means serving the spiritual master who ultimately serves Lord Balaram. So that is our connection. By going through the Guru Parampara, we can attain shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna. That is the source of our spiritual strengths. Balaram, the giver of spiritual strengths. Thank you very much. Any question, any comment?
You mentioned the demons killed by Lord Balaram, the mode of ignorance and mode of passion, and maybe there are some others also.
Oh, there are many others, but yeah. I didn't prepare that. I should have, but I was not in state.
They represent anattas. We have to overcome ourselves. But then when Lord Balaram is killing them and he is Adiguru, we are overcoming them ourselves with the help of our Guru Maharaj. Or how is it?
Yeah, correct. Perfect explanation.
You can say something more.
No. You said it. You said it. Perfect. With the help of Guru Maharaj, you did. See, you said it perfectly and you did it with the help of Guru Maharaj.
Yes. Could you clarify a little bit what you were talking about with Guru Tattva principle working through Srimati Radharani? That's only for someone in Madhurya Ras. Prabhupada has explained it works through Balaram and Srimati
Yes.
But there's a difference.
Yes, yes. The statement I made is actually a statement made by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who explains that Srimati Radharani is, of course, the topmost devotee. There is no devotee like her. It is said that when Krishna plays his flute, can attract the entire three worlds, but no one is as attracted as much as Srimati Radharani. No one in love for Krishna can match Srimati Radharani. Therefore, Srimati Radharani is naturally the spiritual master of all. There is her, the purity of her devotion is just unmatched. There is not a grain of selfishness within her. So before her, we all stand purified again and again. So she is our spiritual master in that way. By hearing about her qualities, her service, and so on, every devotee is becoming purified. However, when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said that she's particularly the spiritual master for those who are in Madhurya Ras, he meant to say that if we really want to go fully in following the particular way in which she serves Krishna, that is for devotees who are who are entering into antaranga seva, into serving in their internal identity or eternal identity, which becomes uncovered. Srila Prabhupada speaks about when we come to advanced stages of devotional service, the initial purification has been going on, the anattas are removed from the heart, we come to nista, we come to the stage of ruchi. Then Prabhupada speaks about ashakti. And it said in ruchi, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, one's whole consciousness is covered by taste. In ashakti, that taste now goes deep into, and it becomes deep attachment. Then Srila Prabhupada says there are five types of ashakti, according to the five rasas. So one begins to gradually develop a sense of serving Krishna in a particular mood. So those devotees who've reached that state where they have that actual advancement, that a deep attachment to serve Krishna in a particular way and no interest in anything else, they are eligible to particularly follow in the footsteps of Srimati Radharani. Not only that they are, but all devotees are purified upon hearing the qualities of the activities of Srimati Radharani. But we cannot serve Krishna in the same way, in that material way, if we have not yet developed our ashakti, our attachment in that way. Because the Srila Prabhupada explains, some of us may be in Sakira's cowherd voice, and maybe with Krishna Balaram, imitating the animals in the forest. Some are doing a good job, you know. It might be. Thank you very much. Shri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai.